This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. The first official MLB offseason edition of Phillies Today is the Dodgers officially crowned as World Series champions on Wednesday night. Pretty insane Game 5 to finish it off. As I'm recording this on a Thursday evening, Dodgers erase a 5-0 deficit, score 5 unearned runs in the fifth inning, as most of you probably watched, with just some brutal defensive miscues from the Yankees between Judge's misplayed fly ball in center field, between Garrett Cole not covering first base and miscommunicating with Anthony Rizzo there, and even Volpe's throw to third. Just a number of errors lead to the Dodgers putting up 5 runs in that inning, all unearned. And we'll get more into it in a minute, but just Yankee fans going to be thinking about that one for a while as they, frankly, lose in shocking fashion at home after every indication was that they were going to force a Game 6 after they get off to that hot start. Judge finally hits a homer. Jazz Chisholm hits a homer right after, and they had all the momentum going, and it felt like we were going back to L.A., but that was not the case, as we later found out. But yeah, it is officially the off season now. So I want to start going through some of my ideal free agent needs, and who could potentially fit there. Maybe even some trade targets as well. Plus, as always, we'll provide an Andrew Painter update in the Arizona Fall League as he made yet another start there and looked very solid once again. So that is exciting and cannot wait to talk a little more about that. But let's get into some of this other stuff that I just mentioned. And I started off by mentioning that the Dodgers are world champions as they take down the Yankees in 5. And I leave the series feeling a few different things. First, we suspected it going into the playoffs and the postseason, but the National League was just so much more talented, I feel, than the American League was in the postseason this year. A lot of discussion was made about how the Yankees' path to the World Series was, really easy. And you look back on it now and how they got there, it really was the easiest possible path I think you could draw up. Facing the Royals in the Division Series, who had struggled, for the last 2 months of the season and had little starting pitching and lineup depth. And then going up against the Guardians, who, are scrappy and had a good year for sure, being the AL Central champions. But when your payroll is what the Yankees is and you face a Cleveland team that is the 24th highest payroll in baseball, you ought to win the series based on your talent. And they did. But I will say that, probably 4 teams, I think, in the National League between maybe the Phillies, the Mets, the Dodgers, obviously, and I'd say the Padres as well. I would probably take all 4 of those teams to win a series against the New York Yankees. But the Yankees got to the World Series, and they could only beat the teams that were in front of them. So the Yankees end up getting the World Series, lose in 5, and the Dodgers, I thought, sort of embarrassed them, and I thought they were pretty clearly the superior team based off them, a few different things. But my main takeaway, or what I was watching the series, what I saw, is the quality at-bats that the Dodgers had that the Yankees sort of didn't, other than Soto and, honestly, some of the guys at the bottom of the order towards the end of the series. But I just thought that the Dodgers kind of, you know, outmatched them in terms of just the quality of that bat. The Dodgers must have had about 100, I'm exaggerating, of course, but 103-2 count throughout the series there. Just so many quality at-bats from this Dodgers lineup from top to bottom. I mean, you had Tommy Edman, who won the National League Championship Series MVP, batting ninth in that lineup by the end of the World Series, which is just insane. And he ended up being a very big trade acquisition for them, which I'll touch on in a minute here. And even in last night, when Gerrit Cole looks unhittable through four innings, and as I mentioned, all the errors that kind of, you know, spiraled into the Dodgers going on that run, the Dodgers capitalized on those mistakes, and they made sure that they came back and they bit the Yankees. So that was eventually why they ended up winning, is they made less mistakes, and when the Yankees did make those errors, they capitalized them every time and just, you know, put a dagger in their hearts when they needed to. So Freddie Freeman, to nobody's surprise, gets World Series MVP. Just an incredible series from Freddie, who, you know, finally didn't homer in Game 5. He had a home run in all four games prior, but he did get the big two-run knock as part of that fifth inning we mentioned. Considering the ankle problems, and we find out today that he's also been playing with broken rib cartilage. They said he had trouble breathing at one point because it hurt so badly, which, again, is insane. Just the fact that that didn't come out, and we're finding that after the World Series. So he was fighting through injuries, and most importantly, of course, what happened to him and his family this season with his son coming down with that condition. This had to feel really good for Freddie, who people forget was, a few years ago, essentially moneyballed by the Atlanta Braves, an organization where he thought he'd stay forever, but they go with the cheaper, younger version, as we know, in Matt Olson, and he ultimately goes to the Dodgers, which, looking back, is pretty insane to think that they made that decision, but now he's a World Series MVP out in L.A., and one thing that I just can't get over as I sort of work the Phil's angle into this is how well the trade deadline acquisitions for the Dodgers performed. I mentioned Tommy Edman, and he was essentially brought in for nothing at the trade deadline. And I think they got rid of Miguel Vargas, who went to the Chicago White Sox, part of a three-team deal on that. He obviously played a massive role in winning this World Series. And I know Flaherty kind of ran out of gas in his last couple starts here in the postseason, but how about the impact of him? He was massive for the Dodgers coming down the stretch and had some really good starts in the postseason as well. And Michael Kopech was another guy who they brought in who really was good out of that bullpen, who could have been a Philly too. He was kind of a guy who profiled to be a back end of the bullpen type of guy, right-hander who threw really hard. But the Phillies chose to go with Carlos Estevez, and he was another guy who really contributed for the Dodgers who could have been a Phil, but he was not, of course. And getting back to Tommy Edman for a second, he was one of those guys who, and I credit Andrew Friedman a lot for this, but who the Dodgers front office saw and recognized that he fit their approach in working professional at-bats and being able to get on in numerous ways and, you know, getting the 3-2 counts. It's just what the Dodgers do. And it's unlike the Phillies, who I just don't believe took really any approach going into the deadline, aside from the fact that, you know, they've liked Austin Hayes and they liked Carlos Estevez before, and now was the right time to bring them in. Like, that was their approach. And it felt like there wasn't really a, you know, rhyme and a reason necessarily for it. And it's also worth mentioning with Kopech, he had great postseason numbers this year. He had a 3 ERA and 10 Ks per nine and became a pretty integral part of what was a phenomenal bullpen for the Dodgers this postseason. So, yeah, their trade acquisitions ended up paying big dividends for them. So that is a big reason why they were able to accomplish what they did. And I talked about that bullpen being phenomenal for the Dodgers, which last night included Walker Buehler, who came out of the bullpen to close it and is a free agent this offseason and made himself, I think, a nice amount of money after his last few appearances, which he looked like pre-injury Walker Buehler there. And maybe the Phils are interested in a one-year deal, and I expect him to get something short-term just given the fact that he didn't have a great regular season, was still hurt for a lot of it, obviously coming off the Tommy John as well. So I would think maybe it's a short-term deal for him, but maybe if the Phils are interested in that and you want to kind of bridge the gap to Andrew Painter, maybe you give an expensive one-year, $18 to $20 million deal for Walker Buehler. So that is an option there. But, of course, you know, I guess that's a perfect transition into the free agency stuff. The big free agent in this class, as we all know, we just watched him in the World Series, Juan Soto, had some pretty interesting post-game comments last night after the loss regarding, you know, his free agency. Obviously, he was going to get asked about it. And what he's kind of thinking in regards to his negotiation plans this offseason. But nothing too surprising is he basically said that, you know, every team that's willing to negotiate and put a good offer out there, it's going to be on the table. And it seems pretty obvious at this point between what he said and what Scott Boras has said that he's going to the highest bidder, which he deserves considering how he's performed over the course of his young career so far, and that he's going to be getting $600 million plus from either the Yankees, Steve Cohen and the Mets, or maybe the Phils. And in terms of the Phillies' chances, I think their best way to try to lure Juan Soto and Scott Boras to Philadelphia is being the team that right away gives the most years on the deal. Because I think Steve Cohen is probably going to beat you with average annual value. Like, Steve Cohen and the Mets, it seems like, are going to probably be offering, you know, $600 million right out of the gate, which I think it's probably where it starts. So Steve Cohen, I expect to be extremely aggressive here with this, and we'll see. It feels like the Yankees, I don't know. It seemed like Steinbrenner made some weird comments about it during the season, but yeah, it always felt like he was never going to sign an extension there, which, you know, wouldn't have made sense. But yeah, so the Yankees are going to be just like every other team trying to bid on the right to have Juan Soto long term. So it's going to be interesting. And like I said, I just think that their best path is to offer, say, 15 years right away. This obviously, you know, goes back to Bryce getting 13 years, which, by the way, I believe was more at first. And they finally settled on 13 for 330. Trey, while obviously that contract is not looking amazing right now, was given 11 years, which was longer than I think anyone else was willing to give. Even Nick Castellanos, say, he's on a 5-year deal, and he wasn't getting that from any other teams at the time. So for a guy in Juan Soto who's a generational hitter, who I believe will age well and is 26 years old right now and brings just the thing you're looking for to this lineup, I think that I'm totally fine with throwing 15 years, $650 million at him, and we'll see where it goes from there. But he's a guy that would fit this lineup so well. He's an outfielder, which they need, and boy, would he just be so great to have in Philadelphia. But I wouldn't bet on it right now. I would say he probably ends up with one of the New York teams, but I would say the Phillies are certainly that third team right now. And, you know, there have been some reports out there from, you know, Bob Nightingale, Heyman, a couple of guys that have already linked Soto to the Phillies, which is, you know, interesting. And I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of that as the postseason, or as the offseason rolls along here. And as I get into the other free agents here, I'm going to assume for now that the Phillies aren't getting Juan Soto with these type of moves. This is just some players that I think I like, some fits that I think would work well for the Phillies, and I'm just more listing names, not giving specifics. We'll wait until kind of, you know, the stove gets a little hotter to maybe get into some of the real specifics, but I have a bunch of players that I like and just guys who I have written down who are definitely worth a look if you're Dave Dombrowski, Sam Fold, and the Phillies front office here. And whether it's in free agency or via the trade market, I think first adding an everyday caliber outfielder is essential. No matter if you get Juan Soto or not, no matter who stays or who goes, whether Johan Rojas, Brandon Marsh, whoever is on the team next year, you need another outfielder that can start for you every day. And I think that if you can't get Soto, like I just said, you have to go after guys. I have two names here, Tyler O'Neill being one of them, or Jerickson Profar. Now, hear me out. There are probably better players out there on the market just in terms of overall talent.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
In the outfield, like Anthony Santander, who will get a nice payday, hit 40-plus homers this year, 100 RBI guy. He's out there. Cody Bellinger, who's been linked to the Phillies before. Teoscar Hernandez as well, who just played in the World Series and won it with the Dodgers. He is also a free agent. But I think Tyler O'Neill, when healthy, of course, and Profar fit the bill as guys who would work well in the Phillies lineup in regards to they don't chase and they work decent at-bats. Plus, I don't think either guy is going to be looking to get anything incredibly long-term, especially considering the injury history with O'Neill and the fact that Profar had a pretty horrific 2023 before bouncing back last year in his return with the Padres. So I think both of those guys are viable options there, and I would expect the Phillies to be in on both of them. And it seems like all the baseball writers and the reporters who kind of bring this type of information on Twitter and write articles about it, they seem like the Phillies are pretty locked in on acquiring another outfielder. So I would expect them to be in on those type of guys right there. And those are two names that I think would really work well with the Phillies. Obviously, if they want to go after Anthony Santander, I wouldn't hate it. There's just a lot of swing and miss in his game. And I just feel like he's maybe too similar to what they already have. And you're just putting too many of the big swing guys in one lineup, as we already know that does not work out well in the postseason typically. So I think they should go in another direction and try to get guys who, can kind of fit into this lineup and mold into this lineup a little better than maybe just going after the best possible guy. So I also do think that they have to bring in a low-end starter here to compete with Taiwan. Yes, he will be at spring training, as they've said, for the number five spot. Hopefully they prove to be better than Taiwan, which I know, low bar here. But I've mentioned that Andrew Painter, I think he's going to need some time in the minors before the season starts next year. I'm going to talk about his Arizona Fall League start, like I just said, but I'll get to that at the end. I just think that they're going to do that so they can closely monitor his innings and not stress his arm out too much early when you consider that he's obviously coming back from Tommy John. And you're looking for him to contribute all the way into late October, hopefully next season. So I think they're going to take it really easy with Andrew Painter. I expect him to be in the rotation by June, July-ish, and before the midway point of the season. So that's kind of the timeline I'm expecting for Painter. And I don't think they're going to go after, because of Painter, I don't think they're going to go after a super high-end guy like Burns or Fried. But I will say this, and I've been interested in this guy for a long time, ever since the World Baseball Classic. If there's an opportunity to get Roki Sasaki out of Japan and he gets posted and plans to sign with an MLB team, I know it might cost a lot, but I definitely want in on that. He's 22 years old. He's a stud. So if you miss out on Soto or any of the other bigger fish that are out there and you want to make this a super rotation, no problem with going after Roki Sasaki, especially given his age too. I think he's going to be awesome long term, even if a starter isn't one of your biggest needs there. But getting back to a possible number five starter, I've liked some of these guys who have pitched a high level before, but maybe just need to re-unlock something or, are coming off an injury and maybe, weren't 100% this year and could possibly get back to what they were, with another team or even just in years prior. So here are some guys. Matthew Boyd looked good with Cleveland this postseason. I like him. I like John Means, who's had a lot of injury problems, I will say, but could possibly be something similar to Turnbull last year and has good stuff. Trevor Williams pitched well this year, even though it feels like he never goes past five innings per start with the Nationals, which, again, is very un-Phillies-like based on all their guys going really deep into games this year. But I think he had a really good year with the Nationals, and I would not mind bringing in Trevor Williams to compete with Taiwan. A few more just to rattle off some names. Nick Pivetta, bring him home? I don't know. But no, I actually think Nick Pivetta probably gets more than a one-year deal. I probably think he gets 3 or 4 years, and not sure the AAV, but he actually had a pretty decent season up there in Boston. Alex Cobb, another injury-prone guy, but when he was back for the Cleveland Guardians this year, looked pretty solid. And Jacob Junis, somebody who saw some time in the pen as well and had a pretty decent year. And somebody I do have to mention, because our buddy Jack Fritz is just absolutely infatuated with him, is Mike Soroka, who is turning into a stud with the Braves before he blew out his Achilles a few years ago and has dealt with some other major injury problems. Before last year, he threw the most pitches he had in a season since 2019. I believe it was around 80 pitches last year. So he is a name to look out for sure. I know Jack is all in on the Mike Soroka train. But those are the kind of names that, you know, I'm looking for in terms of starters. And I'm sure, you know, I'll probably pivot to some bigger names as soon as the Phillies start getting connected with some of these guys on Twitter later in the offseason. Like last year, I remember I talked about Jordan Montgomery, and that, you know what? Now that I mentioned Jordan Montgomery, maybe that's an option. I know he's probably not going to be back with the Arizona Diamondbacks, considering the comments the owner made, basically saying how it was a disaster of a contract while he's still employed by the team, which was interesting. So maybe that's an interesting buy low scenario. See, I'm brainstorming here. But yeah, anyway, I'm sure I'm going to get infatuated with some, you know, different type of guys as the offseason rolls along here. And yeah, so we'll see what they do on the pitching front. But I expect it to be more 1 to maybe 2 year deals with a club option in there. So that is what I'm expecting in terms of the starter market for the Phillies. And then I'll wrap up my free agent stuff here with, you know, piecing together this bullpen, as you have two of the more important right-handed arms in your pen hitting free agency in Jeff Hoffman and Carlos Estevez. We'll say right now, absolutely 100% would bring back Jeff Hoffman, who, yes, had a very poor postseason performance against the Mets this year, but was a stud for the past 2 years and was deservingly an all-star this past season as well. I think he probably gets in the $10 million a year range, and I'd be very okay with giving him something around 3 years, $30 million, $35 million, somewhere around there, and keeping one of the stalwarts of this bullpen in Philadelphia. But it's going to be a competitive market for him. There's no doubt about it. So the Phils will have to have a backup plan if he signs somewhere else. And Carlos Estevez, I know they gave up a couple of pieces to get him at the deadline. I frankly don't need him back. And he just gives up too much hard contact for me, more than I expected when the Phillies picked him up. And I think he's going to command some decent money considering the save numbers and the experience he has closing games. And the fact that, you know, the numbers on, you know, the basic stats aren't too bad. But I just feel like we got a good look at Estevez and kind of who he is. And I just don't know if I can trust him in a big scenario. And I mean, obviously he gives up the grand slam to Lindor this year, and that was kind of his big moment and did not go well. So those are the guys you could potentially lose, and that means that you need to be in the market for some right-handed relievers. And before I get into this, I will say that there is an area which I think I have firmly changed my stance on in regards to how the Phillies have done things over the few years. And I think I'm one of the last people to kind of, you know, be on this wave and kind of shift towards this mindset. And that is, I think I am ready for the Phillies to just get a certified closure this offseason. I've always been, you know what, fine with Jeff Hoffman, Strom, kind of piecing the bullpen together and making, you know, a closer by committee type of thing and just play the matchups. But I just think that we finally have seen that, especially with the way the bullpen performed in the postseason this year, maybe having some certified roles for these guys, especially having some comfortability going into the postseason, could be something that is ideal. And so I think the Phillies getting a certified closer, and there are some high-level guys out there, could be something that they look for this offseason. And it's probably something that you need to do via trade, because there aren't that many, you know, closer type of guys out there. I know Tanner Scott is, but Phillies do have Matt Strom. They still have Alvarado next year, and they have some lefties in that bullpen. And you'd like, especially if you lose Hoffman and Estevez, you'd still like some right-handers in that bullpen. So, couple, Devin Williams, obviously a name that's been talked about a lot. I feel like everyone's on the Devin Williams for Alec Boehm train, but Devin Williams definitely being talked about. Andres Munoz and the Mariners, I've seen some trade rumors as well. The Mariners could certainly use some bats, so maybe they look to, you know, shop him around a little bit. Pete Fairbanks of the Rays could be another guy as well. Obviously, the Rays don't like to pay guys typically, so maybe you can, you know, get Pete Fairbanks out of Tampa. But in terms of just moving off of the closers and going towards some of the non-closer free agent relievers, Andrew Kitteridge, I've loved him for a while. Mr. Hold in fantasy himself. Would love Andrew Kitteridge to be a fill. I know he's probably like 35, 36 at this point, but just feels like he has always been pretty consistent there and was not bad for the Cardinals this year. And I always liked him as a Ray as well. So some other names, Kirby Yates, he's a little older now too, but pretty solid coming off Tommy John the year prior and pretty good this year. AJ Minter had some injury issues as well. But he's been great for Atlanta. And remember, these are most of the guys I'm talking about, 1-2 year deal guys. So I just think that they're worth the risk there. And also a bounce back candidate who I like that got DFA'd by the Guardians last year, Scott Barlow. Wasn't that bad, but had, you know, kind of a rough August and was in a stacked bullpen and eventually ended up being kind of the odd man out there. So wouldn't hate a cheap 1 year deal for him as well. So those are some names I like early, and I will absolutely be having some more free agent stuff for you guys as the offseason rolls along. So make sure you stay tuned in for all of that, and because definitely just going to be monitoring, I know, the different moves the teams make here and how, you know, it could affect the Phillies, or if, you know, guys get taken off the Phillies board as well. So hey, the stove's already kind of hot. We had the Braves and Angels make a move today, swapping Jorge Soler for Griffin Canning. So again, just truly exciting stuff as we get to the Major League Baseball offseason here. But speaking of exciting, before I wrap up here, Andrew Painter, I'm getting to it now. Once again, shoved in the Arizona Fall League this week as he made his fourth start, gave you 3 innings of scoreless ball, 2 hits, 3 strikeouts, no walks, and probably the most exciting thing about it is 25 strikes on 33 pitches, which is really good to see. It really feels like he's been in the strike zone all fall, which is great to see. He's got a 2.70 ERA through those 4 starts, and at this point, you just love to see that he can gain some confidence and he can continue to tinker with some of his pitches as well, including the changeup, which I mentioned a week or two ago, has been, you know, a new pitch for him that he's kind of been tinkering with, and really excited for him. And hopefully all goes well and all goes according to plan. And as I said, by midsummer, he is shoving at Citizens Bank Park as a Philly, so that would be really cool to see. With that, that is going to put a wrap on this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. I will make sure to bring you all the offseason MLB and Phillies news as it comes in this winter. So make sure you keep on listening. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good weekend, everybody. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app